I've got to have a precursor before I speak that I think what I'm speaking on is probably pretty average for most to use. And I had to learn this lesson, so I'm just going to tell you what I learned. So if you'll just bear, not throw judgment at me, because Larry's on the highly spiritual side, and we've converted Ken over onto the lesser spiritual side. And so I'm trying to just bring justification to the other side there, but I don't know if it's going to win with this today. So anyways, I was reading a scripture and I didn't understand it. I understand it, but I believe it's true, but I wasn't living it. And so it's in Romans 8:26, and it says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." So it says here that we don't know what to pray for. And I'll be honest with you, my default is two forms of prayer: help and thank you. And I've got it down to a pretty good science, and I think I pretty well know what to do. If I got a problem, I cry out, "Help, God help me." And once the problem's solved, I say, "Thank you." Well, that kind of goes, I know what I got to pray. So I'm a person that asks a lot of questions. And so when I read that, I said, "God, how do I come to a place where I don't know how to pray? How do I come to that place where I am needing the Holy Spirit to battle in my weakness, groaning for me in intercession for me?" And so as I was studying this just in my devotional time, I know all the Christianese words. So understand, I knew this scripture. I can say all the right Christianese stuff, but I wasn't necessarily practicing it. So I was in bed the one night, and I was kind of meditating sort of on what my question was. And one of my favorite scriptures is Matthew 6:33, and it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And all of a sudden it clicked. I had to seek God's kingdom first. When I pray, "Help," traditionally I'm praying my kingdom. And that's not what God told me to do. God told me to seek his kingdom first. Now, then I'm getting into a little bit more foreign territory, because I understand that from a business perspective. I've used this scripture. I've had to speak throughout the years quite often for the business sector in the car industry. And they would always tell me, don't say any spiritual stuff or any religious stuff. And I would always use Matthew 6:33 and paraphrase it to car dealer language. And so I understood the scripture from just a peripheral view, but I needed to understand it from a prayer view. How do I pray? How am I going to pray effectively as God would want me to pray? And he's told me I'm first supposed to seek his kingdom in everything I pray for. His supply chain is also in a different fashion than what I was looking for too. Because when I pray help, let's say I'm praying for a relationship issue. If it's a person, I'm pretty confident most of you can relate to this, where you've got people in your life where you could strangle them, not literally, of course, we're in church, so we're not going to literally strangle them, but we want to strangle them because, for any of you young kids, you're not supposed to say this word at home. They're stupid. Right? You have none of you probably have those people in your life where they just make bad decisions and you're praying for the relationship between you and them and you don't know how to deal with it and you've got it figured out. You've got it figured out how God should answer their prayer. Your prayer for them. And it says here in Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to your brain functions. I was making that up and it didn't come out right. But anyways, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Not according to our rationale. We discount certain people. And I'm just talking about relationship prayers. I mean, we can do it for finances. We can do it for health. We can do it for all these different things. We've got the answer to so many different things. And God says, I'm going to supply the answer to your prayer according to my riches in glory in Christ Jesus. This isn't according to, I mean, I had situations in the business where it was tough. And the car business is like a stock market. It just, when it stops fast. And it would stop and you have 125 mouths you still had to feed there. And all of a sudden it stopped. And I would give God instruction in my prayer. This is how it should happen. And I know I wouldn't say it that coldly, but in essence, I can just picture him sitting there smiling and thinking, I've got amazing riches for you, and all you're thinking about is getting the payroll paid next month. And I've got amazing riches for you. So he's given us this Holy Spirit that is there for us to dig deep, to understand what's going on. I used to, when Art and me would go around when we had the four kids at home when they were little, he'd go around, Art would do shopping. I would sit with the kids, let's say, in the car, and one of them would be in the car seat fidgeting, could be the youngest, obviously, because she was the most fidgety, and she's sitting there, so I can pick on her. But anyways, so she would be fidgeting in the back seat. So you'd pick them up out of the car seat, and you'd put them on your lap, and you would say, okay, you can drive now. And so what they would do is they felt their power in their lips, and they would go... And they were going nowhere really, really fast. But then when they turned 16, we handed over something, the keys to the family car. They didn't go anymore. They went and they turned the key on and the power was given them by their dad and mom to go drive around. And God said, I'm going to give you the keys to drive around and stop going around praying. I want to give you the power to pray with the keys. And it says in Matthew 16:19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed on heaven. Our earthly situation is for a heavenly purpose. It's got a far greater purpose than that relationship that we think is stupid, or that those finances that we think aren't coming, or that the health that we're suffering with lack of health. There's a heavenly purpose, and God says, I want to give you the keys. My Holy Spirit is going to intercede for you because you do not know how to pray. In the situation you're in right now, you do not know how to pray. And I'm going to give you the keys so that when you turn this on, you're not only fulfilling your earthly need, which is very temporary. This is a temporary thing. Our earthly need is just a temporary need that we have right now. Len Armstrong can contest to that right now. He can say, my earthly needs were nothing compared to where I am right now. And he's got an eternal value, and he wants to turn that on, and he's saying, here's the keys. You're ready for the keys. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit to intercede for that battle that's going on. So what's the battle going on? What's going on right now in behind? So again, I can say I would only look if I had a financial problem. And again, I'm a business guy, so I'll talk finances more, but relational doesn't matter. I was sharing with some guys earlier on about a relational issue that I had, and one of those wring your neck type of relationship scenarios, right? And I will tell you, it blew my mind that the Lord gave me compassion. I shouldn't have, in this worldly perspective, I shouldn't have compassion on this relationship, this situation that was happening in my life. God doused me with compassion because the Holy Spirit was interceding for me for the will of the Heavenly Father and what he wanted. And the Lord just doused me. I honestly, the people that I would get so irritated with, and I shared, like, they would steal my specialty cookies out of the cupboard. Like, I'm Dutch, and there's certain cookies that you value very highly. And on only special occasions would we have those cookies. And so we hid them in the back of the cupboard, even for ourselves, because the threat that we could rob ourselves of the special occasions, we hid them in the back of the cupboard. We went one day and I said to Art, today's the perfect day for a spekulaas and a cup of tea. We went, the package was still there, but it was empty. Now that's ringable. That's ringable. That, and God gave me a heart of compassion. And I laugh. I honestly can laugh about it. And that's hard when it comes to spekulaas. I can laugh about that because the Holy Spirit is interceding beyond where the relationship needed to happen. I thought all I had to do is get them to come into my fold. You need to think like I think. You need to do like I do. And then God answered my prayers. And God said, that's not the trick. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit deal with that. And how that happens is different because the Holy Spirit's dealing with your situation, your specific scenario. What's going on in the background of that? It says in Ephesians 6, verse 12, what battle's going on that we can so easily forfeit? There's a battle going on, for we do not wrestle, this is Ephesians 6, 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against cosmic powers over present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. There is a battle going on for those two people that I was dealing with in my life. There's a battle going on when you have financial problems. It's not just your financial issue. There's a battle going on in the heavenlies to say, I submit to you, God. And Satan's there fighting, trying to get you. The battle's already been won. All we have to do is submit. It's been done. I look at that and I say, this, I fight for this old corruptible body. And he wants us to fight through the power of his Holy Spirit, who understands the will of the Father. He wants us to fight for an incorruptible purpose. My dad was a great mentor to me, and he had cancer at one point in his life. And he said to me, John, he says, you know what? I don't much like this cancer. He says, but boy, does it ever provide amazing opportunities for me when I go to the cancer hospital. He says, those people sit in that room and they're all hopeless. And he said, I get the opportunity to pray with those people and to speak life and hope into those people. And he would come home, and even if he got a negative report from the doctor, he would come so uplifted home because his corruptible body was not the issue. It was the incorruptible, the eternal purpose that God had in his life. And he went every time, not praying. I don't think he ever prayed this. He didn't pray for his healing. He prayed that the Lord would give him opportunities in the hospital. He was more concerned about his eternal purpose. Well, that sure kicks the living crap out of the problem out of my situation here, because it tells me my prayer for help and thank you is not what God's called us to. God's called us to an eternal purpose. Jesus taught us how to pray. And he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, there's a heavenly purpose that he wants his will based off of, not off our earthly situation. So many people ask, and this is, I'm not no pastor, but I'm sure this pastor question gets asked because I hear it on YouTubes all the time. Why did God not answer my prayer? Why did God not answer my prayer? Because he's got the Holy Spirit intervening for you, and he's digging deep into what the purpose of your situation really is. Lean into the Holy Spirit and hear what he has to say. I had a situation in my life where the business crashed, and I was praying, God, can you give me the wisdom how to reinvigorate the business? And we'd gone from 700 cars a month down to 200 cars a month in 1 month flat. And when you have 125 people to feed, it was tough. And so I'm praying, God, can you please, please give me wisdom on how to deal with this? And if not that wisdom, how to get the business going again, who do I lay off? What do I do? I didn't know what to do, and I was asking from a worldly perspective. And I was so extremely anxious. And I might have shared this before, but in that anxiety, I was home one night. Arta had to go out to one of the kids. The grandkids was sick, and so she went out, and I'm laying in bed, and I'm so silly anxious. And so I thought, okay, I'm just going to turn the TV on because I couldn't get to sleep. My head was going too fast. And so I turned the TV on, and there was a crime show. There was a newscast on the economy crashing. There's a whole bunch of exciting things to watch that weren't going to help me at all. And so I turned on to one of the Christian stations, but it was after they shut the TV, the station off. And so all it did was play funeral home music with scriptures on the screen. And said, be still and know that I am God. Then over the period of the next week, the Lord said to me, I want you. I want you. I said, yeah, but I would like the money first, and then I'll give you every bit of me, and I'll say thank you and everything else. And I know that sounds cold and callous, but that's how we talk. We would like the answer to our problem first. And I had a little fund sitting aside of cash that was set there for a toy fund. It was for motorhomes. But anyways, didn't matter. It was and I'd always had this fund there, and the Lord said, give that away. And I said, God, that's a whole month's payroll. We could survive for another month. You and me, we could survive together for one more month. And again, I know that sounds cold, but that's what I was exactly saying, because I did not acknowledge that the Holy Spirit was interceding for me. As much as I know that scripture, I could quote it to you a million times, I did not acknowledge in the pain of the structure, in the immediate pain of the structure, I did not acknowledge that. As we don't with people, we want to wring their necks. We don't always acknowledge in that time that God has an eternal purpose. So we went away, Art and me went away for a few days just to pray about it. Thought better not do this slipshod because it meant no motorhome. So I wanted to make sure I knew what I was doing, right? And so we did it. We were obedient to it and we gave it away. To this day, I do not know what battle was won there. Do you understand? So if you want the warm and fuzzies after you are obedient to what God calls you to do, sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes that just doesn't happen, and you will know it in the end. I know that when my dad went to be with his Heavenly Father, there was probably somebody from Juravinsky Hospital that said, "Hey, John, I so much appreciated you led me to the Lord in that hospital room." He finally got to know the reward for what he was obedient to. And I don't know, to this day, I don't know the reward. There was no reward per se for what we did. And I don't know what the purpose was. I don't understand that. But the fact is, he doesn't have to answer us the purpose. He asks us to be obedient to when the Holy Spirit is interceding for you, that you are aware of an eternal purpose. It doesn't fit real nice sometimes, but he has an eternal purpose. I hesitated in putting the scripture in. John, you quoted it to me yesterday. I said I would not make John Foreman illustration today, so I'm not talking about John Foreman. So anybody, don't say nothing about John Foreman. Anyways, in 1 Corinthians 15:53, because we relate this scripture quite often to when we go to be with the Lord. It says, "For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on the immortality." I read that scripture over a million times, and when you first read it, you think this is a scripture you would read on for yesterday. And the more I read it, I started realizing I have to put on the imperishable body today. I have to put on his divine nature today. He's called us through his Holy Spirit to speak to us so that his divine nature can be put onto us. I have to put that on today. But how do I do it? How do I do it? And because when we get in those pickles, you all know it. We're all great. Today, you're going to be great. You say, okay, that's good. I can do that. No problem. And then tomorrow, some person at work who's not so pleasant just does absolutely the perfect twist of the knife to make you just want to wallop them one. How do I put on that eternal purpose? Well, we might as well get into eternal thinking pattern. And there's one thing that's eternal. And it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never, ever pass away." You are so blessed to be in a church that emphasizes the eternal word of God. Now, the eternal word of God was given to us in two fashions. It was given to us in the written word. Then it was given to us, it says, the word became flesh. In John 1:14, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So we have the example of Jesus Christ as an eternal example, and he came here on earth and he experienced everything that we experienced. Whatever you experience, he's had it. He's dealt with it. It says in Philippians 2 verse 5, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." The mind of Jesus Christ is yours. It's just yours for the claiming. One of the biggest things that we battle when we're dealing with those prayers that just frustrate us, not the prayers, but the things we're praying about that frustrate us, is our mind goes crazy. Again, you got to go back. There's a battle going on for your mind. There's a battleground going on right now for your mind. And you can think about those things that you're praying for right now. It could be kids, parents, whatever. And there's a battleground going on and saying, yeah, but. It is yours for the taking to have the mind of Christ. It is yours. It says there, it's pretty clear. It says, is yours. That's relatively clear. I'm not an English major. I'm not even a school major, but I know that is yours means it's yours, right? So how did Jesus do it? The next few verses after that says how Jesus did it. He says, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus emptied himself. And I'll be honest with you, it's not an easy area for me. And please don't take this as an arrogance thing. I'm being very transparent with you. When I ask this question of God, I know these scriptures. Don't get me wrong. I know these scriptures, but we battle in our minds over and over and over again. I'm in a business that's fairly visible, or was in a business, thank you. I'm happy about that. I was in a business that's very influential. And so if I stumble, it attacks my very person. Jesus came from the right hand of his Father. He was in the presence of the Heavenly Father, the creator of all earth, and came down and gave up his position. And I am uptight that if I have a financial problem, somebody's going to look at me as less. Can you imagine how stupid that is for me to say that? Yet there's a battle going on in my head. There's a battle, and that battle, we read about it. There's a battle going on for my mind right now. The battle wants what I have and to rob me from it. So I have to empty myself. And that happens by being a servant. How he did it. If we want to learn how to establish prayer that is eternal, we need to follow an eternal pattern. The eternal pattern is God's word, and God's word became flesh. So Jesus Christ is that example. He didn't only empty himself, he humbled himself through obedience. I can't say when we had to give that money away when we were in our worst, it was legitimately the worst financial position I was in the history of the business. And we had to give that money away. I, to this day, don't know the purpose, the outcome, that thing. But I do know the joy that I experienced in being obedient to my Heavenly Father. I do know the joy I experienced from following the digging in, the interceding that the Holy Spirit had for us in that situation, that we became obedient to that. You don't have to understand the outcome, but I guarantee you will understand a relationship aspect with your Heavenly Father. And Jesus understood that better than anybody because he took it right to the cross in obedience. So here I am asking questions on prayer. God, help. God, thank you. And he says, I want far much more. I want eternal prayer. I want you to depend on the fact of the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand what my son did for you. And my son did this. He emptied himself. But when we empty ourselves, there's an opportunity to be filled. The very thing that Jesus did by emptying himself and teaching us that is the very thing that this whole scripture comes back to, is that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. As we're filled with the Holy Spirit, what ends up happening is prayer does not become circumstantial, it becomes eternal. It says in Ephesians 3, verses 16 to 19, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. He's filling you back up again. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled, that you may be filled, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Wow, you know what? The garbage you go through is such a blessing. It's not what you want to hear. But the garbage that you go through is such a blessing. The people that irritate the living crap, it's not whatever, no, whatever you mean out of you, is not a bad thing. It's a God thing, which is allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you to do something so you can understand the breadth, the length, the width, the height of him. There's so much more that we can have. We always say our children were the biggest humbling factor that we ever have, but do we actually hand them over to him? Are we willing to actually, when they get stupid, are we willing to actually hand them over to him and say, Holy Spirit, you do the divine digging for me. You find out. Because I don't know what to pray, because you've told me I don't know what to pray. So I am giving this over to you to pray through this. Are you willing to do that? I read a statistic, and I read a few of them just to make sure I was on the right boat here, because it seemed a little bit too extreme to me, because I'm around a lot of hopeful people. But the statistic came out 2 years ago, and it said, and this is United States, because that's where you get most of the statistics, but I know we're not the same, but we'll just go with it. 51% of young Americans, 51% of young Americans say they feel down, depressed, or hopeless. And I looked at a whole bunch of different ones that come from different angles, just the general population. It's all up over 40%. 51%. And some of those 51% are the stupid people that are hanging around you that irritate you. And our God loves them. And there's a divine purpose why they're around you. And our God loves them. Our Heavenly Father, I cannot believe our Heavenly Father looks at them as stupid. He created them. And he created them for a purpose. And you happen to be in their path today. I'll tell you, you have an amazing calling. And guess what? You've got an amazing support group, which is the Holy Spirit, who's actually got, it says very clearly, do not know what to pray, for as you ought, but the Spirit intercedes for you. He's interceding for those people for you. Here's last scripture. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope, it is also translated a hope that lives on. Do you realize that this is so common because we have social media. 33% of people that win the lottery are bankrupt within 3 years. And do you realize right now how much stuff is about the gambling world on TV? Because it's a false hope that people are saying is, if I have money, I will have hope. It's a false hope. This is a hope. You and me here have a living hope that the world does not comprehend. Don't think, we were talking beforehand with a few of us, how can people not want this? Did you ever say that? How can people not want the joy of the Lord? I don't understand it. I honestly don't. But God has given you a hope that is living forever, is going to live for eternity. And he has given that to you so that you can break down those battles that go on. The Holy Spirit is going to put you in the right place at the right time. And if you submit to that and are willing to empty yourself of your pride, empty yourself of you who you are, and if you are willing to humble yourself and become a servant and be obedient to what he calls you to, there's going to be the most amazing victory battle cry that you'll ever see. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. So the help and thank you, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying thank you. It's good. I was taught as a kid, you got to do that. But honestly, depend and rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to guide you in your prayers. It's going to make such an impact. You will make such a, honestly, it's phenomenal. I want to say one thing. If you've never given your life to God and you need him in your life and you're saying, I would like that eternal hope, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray that, and you pray along with and ask him in, because you have so much resources. The Almighty Creator has got resources for you that are beyond what your comprehension is. Doesn't, your situations aren't going to change. I'm going to be honest with you. They're not going to, you're not going to have a lot of different scenarios, because those situations are put in place for eternal purposes. They're earthly situations put in for eternal purposes. It's just that now you got an eternal purpose rather than this stupid short-term purpose. Let's pray. Dear Father, I call out to you and ask you to become my God and my Savior. I acknowledge that you died on the cross for me, and I need you in my life. I need that eternal hope in my life, and I give my life over to you, and I look forward to that journey together with you right through into eternity. Father, we just pray for this entire congregation. We pray as we go through changing times with building the new building, we pray that you would give wisdom where wisdom's needed, Lord, and that you would allow each situation that comes up for us to acknowledge your Holy Spirit interceding for us in those situations, and that we can fulfill the eternal purpose that you've called us to. We give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.